Hey, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. In this particular installation of the Digital Digest, we're speaking with Tawana Ben, a founder entrepreneur behind Renee's Place, an assisted living residence here in the DC metro area, located in Prince George's County. She's actually talking about how she got started in the business, as well as how she sustained her growth and success. This is something that you typically would find for people maybe in their 40s or 50s starting these types of businesses. So it's pretty interesting to get the assisted living perspective from a millennial entrepreneur. So without further ado, let's check it out. Thanks for tuning in. And welcome to this installation of the Digital Digest. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Ace. Today we have with us Ms. Tawana Ben. She is the owner of Renee's Place, a nursing home facility for those maybe seeking elderly care or senior care or even short-term care. You know, some of us deal with occupations where you know, we're prone to getting injured. And if you're single or your family is not in the area, she definitely can help with the short-term care. So welcome, Ms. Ben. How are you?
I am well, and yourself?
I'm awesome. Thanks for joining us. I know you have a full schedule every day, all day. So thank you so much for taking the time out your busy schedule to join us and introduce your business and tell our listeners more about something that most of us have heard of in some capacity, but we probably know very little about, which is the assisted living business. And, you know, I think this is an interesting time as, you know, some of us are preparing to put our grandparents or parents into retirement facilities, as well as plan for our own retirement. So would you go ahead and take a few seconds to introduce yourself and tell a little bit about your business and how you got started?
Sure. Again, I want to say thanks for having me. My name is Tawana Ben. I'm from the DC area. I've been an LPN since 2009, got my license from Job Corps, and I've been in the field ever since. How did I get into the field? I started, my first nursing job was at a rehab facility, and I worked as a floor nurse, pretty much passing medications and doing the typical operations of like your typical nursing home or rehab setting. That was just a little overwhelming for a new nurse. The days just went by so fast. It was fast paced. There was so much to learn. I did well for the most part, but it just didn't seem like the thing for me. So I started to kind of look for other positions that would take nurses within the company. And okay. I found that one of my colleagues was working as a discharge planner. And didn't know much about it, but they were taking nurses, and I actually knew her personally, so I kind of got to know more about what she did. And ultimately, her job was to pretty much get people out of the nursing home. It was kind of weird because, of course, people are there for clearly because they need health care, they need services. So the home setting, obviously,
assistance with daily living.
Yes. Yeah, so for me, I'm like, you want us to get these people out? Okay. So it was kind of a learning experience, and that's kind of how I learned about the assisted living industry. So basically, we would have to discharge people and. Assisted livings were one of the places that we would use. So I thought that was a cool thing. And I kind of just stuck with it and, you know, did my research and learned more about that.
Awesome. So what would you say is some of the trials for, because you're in the millennial age range. So I would say you're between the ages of 28 and 38, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So that's very young for this field, at least in my opinion, on the outside looking in, that's very young to be in this field. So what are some of the pushbacks or challenges, some of the highs and lows that you deal with, you know, being a millennial in this particular setting or this particular industry?
I think you kind of hit it on the nose in the question. Having a younger face and you're caring for your seniors, people that are older than your parents, typically they look at you as a little kid. They don't even see you as an adult. So it's hard for some people to take you serious, you know? So you have to kind of show what you know based on your actions versus what you can tell them, because again, they see you as a your baby face. They don't think you know what you're talking about. So that can be a little hard to deal with when you're dealing with elderly people. But also, mm-hmm. on the flip side of that is you have that fresh face. You know, you're bringing something new to the field. You're bringing something new to the industry. You're more relatable. You're not kind of stuck in the routine and the ways of people that have done it before you. So it kind of has its gives and takes.
Okay. And what would you say is some of the highs? What are some of the more rewarding sides of being in your industry and being a young person in your industry? Do you feel it's giving you a better outlook for planning for retirement for your parents or grandparents or maybe even yourself?
Definitely. It's a major eye opener. The world we live in, we just want to go. We take everything for granted. We're focused in the now. We're not really thinking about, especially as you said, millennials, our age group. You're not really thinking about the future. So being in this field, I've seen different stages of life. I've seen how things can be more difficult as you age. You have less support sometimes. You're not able to do it. You lose some independence as you age, of course. So
right.
Just being seen that it's making me more aware and more, how can I say it? I'm in a planning phase more. Like you said, my parents are getting older, so I have to be ready for them when they start going through those changes. And as well, what would I want my life to be like when I get to that age? So it's definitely an eye opener.
Exactly. And what is some of, you know, the feedback that, you know, just, you know, that you've received with, or necessarily feedback, because you don't necessarily get feedback to yourself, but what would you say is some of the major insights that you've gained being up close and personal with your patients and with your clients and going, you know, taking various families through the transition process?
Sorry, can you ask me what it touched me one more time? Sorry about that.
I said, what was the major eye opener for you and, you know, dealing with various phases of transition?
The major eye opener for me was, you can be fine today and something can happen an hour later and change your whole life. You got to be prepared. You got to think about the future. You have to have your finances in place. You have to be more and more conscious of your health and just appreciate each day that you have while you're at your best and while you're able to function and while you're able to do things for yourself, because it can be gone from you in 1 second.
Exactly. I felt the same exact way. I couldn't have said it better myself. I felt the same exact way when I was selling insurance. Mm-hmm. And because it's like insurance, they put the real deal, you know, the statistics in front of your face, you know, over 50% of Americans, you know, their livelihoods would be threatened if they fell on a sickness and weren't able to work and things like that. Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at those statistics and then you're taking it out to the public and people are like, well, I'll figure it out, you know.
Right. And, it's you know, not important you see, right now. You're like, I don't need that. I'm not about to spend money on that.
Right. And then, you know, and then in hindsight, after I got out of insurance and, you know, because it was a tough industry to be in. It is a tough sell. But looking back, I look at so many people that I talked to that in turn something ended up happening to them and they weren't prepared. Or people out here just, you know, it seemed at one point the new burial insurance or the new death insurance was, you know, to just have a GoFundMe. So that was a major eye-opener. So I definitely agree with what you're saying, that you always have to be prepared for what's happening for the future. Especially at a certain time. So that's a perfect transition to my question as far as like the real deal up close and personal from a millennial. How long you've been in business for about 5 years. How long were you in the industry before you got in business for yourself?
I would say 4 years before that. So I got my nursing license 2009, and I opened my facility. I obtained my license and started taking from my first clients 2015.
Awesome. Congratulations. That's a huge step. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a huge step in the right direction. So with that being said, I'm sure you're probably still learning, because it's, you know, average industry professionals say whatever industry you're in, it takes about 10 years, you know, to really get to the point where you've like, I've seen it all. So at this point, would you say I've seen it all?
I want to say that, but I've also learned in this industry that you can never say you've seen it all, because every day you don't know what you might see, you know, but I've definitely seen a lot to want to be able to say I've just about seen it all.
Right. So, how has COVID impacted, affected, or changed the way your business, the way you're doing business, you know, your mental, your positive mental outlook? Can you talk about like the uncertain times that we're in right now? Do you put on the news for your residents? Could you give us a glimpse into like real world going through the uncertainty that, you know, we just went through or going through with this whole COVID pandemic? How did that affect or change your business?
Okay, so as far as the daily lives of my residents, it's been kind of scary and uncertain. They're elderly, so of course they're always concerned and into the news and want to know what's going on around. Mm-hmm. So it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. The COVID. That's all you were hearing on the news. So resident rights, I can't stop them from watching TV. I can't control what they watch, but I try to kind of take their minds off of it by encouraging them to watch other things, because it can be a little depressing and worrisome. Mm-hmm. Some of them have families out of town. So just hearing, for example, people are on lockdown and people can't move around, they don't really understand what that means. So that alone is kind of frightening to an elderly person that can't really understand what's going on literally. Another aspect of it has been trying to keep them in high spirits and keep them entertained. We're used to trying to take them out into the community for activities and having different people from the community come in. But of course, mm-hmm. with COVID, we had to limit that. So you can't really mm-hmm. take them out in the community anymore. Definitely don't want to have people coming into the facility. So it's just mm-hmm. been kind of trying, and you have to be creative to kind of make the day exciting for them because things are so limited right now.
Awesome. Awesome. And how are they? How would you, did their moods change? You mentioned depression. I mean, a lot of us young people, you know, stay-at-home moms, you know, that turn into homeschoolers, like we all have gone through the gamut. So what would you say, how would you say their spirits were affected as far as, you know, seeing the world change or hear about the changes in the world? Would you say that they were negatively affected, or did they even realize the gravity of everything that was going on?
It's a case by case scenario. Of course, some people, because some elderly, their mental status is different. Some people have like mild cases of dementia, so they might not understand how serious things may have been. So some of them people, they don't worry as much. But I do have people that are very alert and they know what's mm-hmm. going on, and it has brought some worry. Mm-hmm. You just got to try to keep them in good spirits and use the distraction technique, just to mm-hmm. whatever you can do to get their minds on other things and keep them positive. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of FaceTime calls so they can kind of stay in contact with their family members and just to keep their spirits up. Just, you can do the best you can do. We're all uncertain, so it's kind of hard to know right. how to plan for something. We all don't know what's going on.
Right. But that's awesome. You know, the fact that, you know, you're proactive and making sure that they're good mentally as well, just because, like you said, you can't necessarily stop them from watching TV, so you could very well just let them take that stuff in all day and just mm-hmm. let them worry their little selves to death. But it's good that you're being proactive and, you know, standing guard and making sure that you're hosting positive energy in your residence. That's awesome. So in our chat since, you know, leading up to the podcast today, mm-hmm. you were explaining that you offer placement assistance. Could you, you know, give us a glance for people that may be interested in going into your industry, or, you know, people that may be looking for placement assistance? Could you describe what type of placement assistance you offer and typically what your intake process is?
Yes. So typically we're in a residential home. So assisted livings can vary from a 2-bed facility to 16 bed, 20 bed, 30 bed, but we're in a we're licensed for 4. So okay. in our facility, we can only have 4 residents. So of course, that capacity fills up very, very fast. So mm-hmm. what I do is I connect with other facilities like mine in the community. And of course, you just make sure that facilities are licensed, you don't want to refer people to facilities that aren't up to par, that you wouldn't mm-hmm. want, you know, that you wouldn't want to recommend for yourself or your family members. And mm-hmm. the intake process pretty much is just figuring out their needs. You want to know what their status is as far as what services they need, what their diagnoses are. You don't want to refer people to places that can't accommodate them. So the main thing is getting to know that person to see what mm-hmm. their needs and wants are. And then you kind of just match them up with communities that would be able to provide those needs.
That's very cool. And do you do the same thing as far as people planning retirement, referring active retirement communities, or is this solely based on hospice and nursing home facilities?
I typically stick to assisted living facilities just because that's what I know. And those mm-hmm. are the people that I have a direct relationship with. But as far as the information, we are all under the same umbrella. So I definitely would be able to refer people to different communities because everybody wouldn't need an assisted living. For example, some people are still independent. Some people just need people to cook for them. So everybody mm-hmm. might not be looking for the same setting or environment. So you kind of have to figure out what that person needs and point them in that direction.
Sure. And what would you suggest to families when choosing a residence? You know, if you were putting together a kind of helpful reminder, or, you know, if you wanted to say you definitely want to look for this, what were some of the things that you would say that they definitely want to pay attention to when choosing a residence for, you know, their parents or grandparents?
Okay, first you want to decide or acknowledge exactly what type of facility your loved one needs. Mm-hmm. And then you want to make sure that facility is actually licensed and following the right protocols according to the state or the county that they're in. Mm-hmm. You want to do tours. You want to see the place. You don't want to just take everything that someone tells you or that you see online. If you can get to that facility and actually meet the staff and see how it's set up, I definitely would recommend that. You want to try to see a few places so that you can kind of compare and see what you're looking for versus what's actually out there. What else would I recommend? Asking questions. You know, they say the line, no question is a silly question or a dumb question. You want to make sure that you're matching up, because you're not going to be with your loved one all the time. You're putting your loved one's care in the hands of someone else. So you want to be able to trust that these people are going to treat your loved ones as you would. So you want to ask as many questions to find out how they operate as possible.
True. And right now, do you have a way that people can get in contact with you if they're looking for your services? Do you prefer them to email, you know, find you on Facebook or LinkedIn? What's your preferred method of contact?
Right now, preferred method of contact is email, which is reneesplaceal@gmail.com. We also have a website. It's just about up and running. It's reneesplace.org. Social media handles, reneesplaceal. That can be on Facebook or Instagram. And it's just how it's spelled. I can spell it just to make sure people are clear, because Renee can be spelled differently. It's mm-hmm. R-E-N-E-E. SplaceAL@gmail.com.
Awesome. So that's reneesplaceal@gmail.com for anyone that wants to get more information on either help with finding assistance, finding a facility, or either placing a loved one in Renee's place. And with that being said, so for a word to other entrepreneurs that may be interested and getting into this field, what would you say that you should definitely be aware of or be cognizant of if this is the field you're thinking about entering?
I would recommend that you just really, really do your research, first of all, to find out what you're getting into. A lot of people see healthcare and they just think automatically dollar signs. Mm-hmm. Granted, it can be a consistent financial setup for you. It's a service that you really can't put a price on. The average health worker is overworked and underpaid. So you want to do your research. This is a field of love and compassion. This is not something you want to do to necessarily chase income. Like I said, you definitely can find financial security in the field. But when you're caring for people, compassion, love, and care, that's the main thing that you have to have. So if that's not something that's inside of you, I wouldn't recommend this field for you.
Right.
And what would you say are some of your greatest inspirations, like that kind of keeps you going, that keeps you compassionate?
That was a good question. So many things inspire me. One of the things I would say are just the bigger companies in this industry. I don't you know, envy them or want to be like them, but they inspire me because I can kind of see how can I explain it? A lot of companies on that level, they're so focused on the finances, and it's so much bigger than that. So I actually like dealing with the people and touching the people. So the fact that I have the power to be able to change somebody's lives and help someone and put them in a better circumstances, or help a family member who feels overwhelmed and does not know where to turn or where to go, that inspires me. So I just use that to be able to give my service back to the community.
Very cool. And with that being said, who is your ideal client or partner?
Ideal client, I would say, would be a retired senior. People, like we just mentioned early in the interview, you get sick all of a sudden sometimes. One of us could, I'm well in my 30s, and I could fall, break my ankle, and then next thing you know, I need total care. You never know. So I would say ideally, our ideal client would be the elder retired citizen who needs some assistance. That's kind of tough to answer. Let me see how can I answer that, because everyone, you can't put a limit on who might need your services. So anyone who can't do everything for themselves, that's who we provide the care. So that's what I would say.
So whether long-term, short-term, senior citizen, millennial, anyone that may have a long-term or short-term injury that can't currently provide for themselves and need assistance with care, that's your ideal client.
Yes, ma'am, because you can even move in as a long-term client, and then you can progress and no longer need our services. So we don't like to put people in a box, because everybody's situation is definitely different.
Right. And that's awesome, the fact that, you know, you're not trying to kind of hold people hostage to, you know, a medical situation, that, you know, you're actually giving them leeway, like, okay, if you need our help, fine. If you don't, you know, we have other methods. So that's awesome. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to wrap our interview with Ms. Tawana Ben. She is the entrepreneur extraordinaire of the hour. She's sitting with us today, helping us understand and gain more insights into the assisted living industry. If you're looking to place your adult parents, grandparents, or adult children that may need assistance, please feel free to reach out to her. She can be reached at reneesplaceal@gmail.com. That's R-E-N-E-E-S, placeal@gmail.com. Did I get it right?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. You want to hop on Instagram Live?
You want? We can.
All right, cool. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in to this installation of the Digital Digest. Of course, anytime. We will welcome you back anytime you have updates to share. Especially as we move through this COVID pandemic, maybe we can do an interview and see what the COVID looked like in hindsight, you know, moving past it and, you know, reopenings and getting things back to normal.
Yeah, maybe so let's go ahead. One of my residents want to chat with you one day. We can try that one day.
Okay, that'll be awesome. So let's go ahead and hop on IG. I'll meet you over there. Everybody else, that's all for now. Thanks so much for tuning in. Peace.
All right.